If you please take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, or in Matthew chapter 11, in verses 20 to 24. Our message series is called Mission and Conflict. We've learned that to be on mission for Christ means to share the message of Christ with other people. But we've seen that not everyone responds positively to that message, do they? And that's why there's conflict. Conflict comes in. Today we want to look at a different question. What happens to those who do not respond in faith to the gospel? What happens to those who do not repent and believe? And that's what today's message is all about. Jesus tells us about those who do not repent. So in Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 to 24, please stand with me for the reading of God's holy word. Then Jesus began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles had been performed, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you that it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, these are very sobering, serious words that we look at this morning. And so I pray that you would put our hearts in the right attitude to hear from your word today and to learn what we should do in response to these words today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. One of the most joyful occasions you can experience as a follower of Christ is when you share the gospel with someone and they believe. That's wonderful. One of the saddest occasions you can experience as a follower of Christ is when you share the gospel with someone and they do not believe. When you are obedient to Christ and begin sharing the gospel with others on a regular basis, you will experience both the joy of conversions and the sadness of rejection. Now, we often remind each other that when a person rejects the gospel, they're not really rejecting you, right? They're rejecting Jesus. But when you think about it, that actually makes it much worse, doesn't it? I would much rather someone rejected me than Jesus. There's nothing sadder than a person rejecting the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Now, we've seen that both John the Baptist and Jesus preached the same message. Remember? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. That was their message. The message that we share today is similar but a little different, because when Jesus and John preached, Jesus had not yet gone to the cross, right? Now that Jesus has gone to the cross, the message becomes this: repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the good news of Jesus Christ. That word repentance means this. Repentance means a complete change of mind, a complete change of direction in your life concerning God, Jesus, and sin. Repentance is part of believing in Jesus. You cannot believe without repenting. You cannot repent without believing. The two go together. Repentance and faith are two sides of the same coin. Now, the Bible is full of both what we call warning passages and blessing passages. Next week, we're going to come to one of the most beautiful of the blessing passages in Scripture. But as often happens in Scripture, a warning passage directly precedes the blessing passage. And that's what we're looking at today. Today's passage is a warning passage. It is a warning about what happens to those who do not repent. Now, there's an outline in your bulletin. I would encourage you to take that out at this time so you can follow along the different points we'll be covering, the different scriptures, maybe jot some notes down as we go along. But we're going to be learning from these verses today in Matthew 11, five things about those who do not repent. Number one, Jesus denounces those who do not repent. Number two, Jesus mourns for those who do not repent. Number three, Jesus looks for sincerity and sorrow in those who do repent. Number four, Jesus warns of a coming punishment for those who do not repent. And then finally, number five, Jesus urges you to repent now rather than later. So let's take a look at all five of these together. First of all, Jesus denounces those who do not repent. And we see this in the very first verse, Matthew chapter 11, verse 20. Then Jesus began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. I want you to notice here that Jesus denounces them not because they had sinned, okay, but because they did not repent. We all sin, and if sin was an unrepairable breach between us and God, then we would all be lost, right? But fortunately, sin is repairable. That's why Jesus came into the world, to die for sin so that we could be forgiven. Jesus does not denounce those who sin. He denounces those who do not repent of their sin. Some people do not like this idea of a Jesus who denounces people. They say, wasn't Jesus loving and kind to everyone? Why would he go around denouncing people? Well, yes, Jesus was loving and kind. But Jesus was also stern and severe. True love is stern when it needs to be. True love speaks the difficult words that need to be spoken. And when it comes to sin, all of us, we need the loving sternness of Jesus Christ. Jesus denounces those who do not repent of their sin. Secondly, Jesus mourns for those who do not repent. Look at verse 21 now, where Jesus cries out, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida!" Chorazin and Bethsaida were two towns that were close to Capernaum. Capernaum is where Jesus set up his headquarters for ministry. Bethsaida was the hometown of Peter, Andrew, and Philip, three of Jesus' disciples. Chorazin is mentioned in the Bible actually only here and in the parallel passage in Luke. So here are two of the towns where Jesus performed most of his miracles. And Jesus pronounces a woe upon both of them. Now that word woe there, it is a word of doom mixed with pity. It is a word that combines an element of warning with an attitude of compassion. Perhaps the word alas best captures the meaning. As one preacher put it this way, that there is, when Jesus gives this woe, there is a wail in the woe. So yes, Jesus denounces those who do not repent, but he also mourns for them. And this tells us something so important about Jesus and so important about God, that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. We read this in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. "As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live." Turn. Turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, O Israel? Now that word turn that you see there in that verse, that's the same word for repent. That's what repent means. It means to turn, right? To turn away from your sin. To turn to God. To have a complete change of mind and a complete change of direction in your life concerning God and sin. God loves you, and he cries out for you here in Ezekiel to turn and to repent of your sin. Why will you die, O sinner, when Christ died for you? God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, and God's kindness should lead you to repentance. And that's what we read in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, where Paul writes this. Paul says, "Do you show contempt? Do you show contempt? Tempt for the riches of God's kindness, for his tolerance and his patience? Do you not realize that God's kindness is what leads you to repentance?" God is kind to you every day of your life. Every good thing you have in your life is because of God. And we are all so undeserving of God's kindness because we have all sinned against God. Therefore, should not God's kindness to you lead you to repentance? Yes, it should. And this is the second thing we learn about those who do not repent, is that Jesus mourns for those who do not repent. A third thing we learn from our passage today is that Jesus looks for sincerity and sorrow in those who do repent. We see this in Matthew 11:21 now, the next verse, chapter 21, where Jesus says, verse 21, where Jesus says, if the miracles that were performed in you have been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, and here's the key phrase for right now, in sackcloth and ashes. Now, in biblical times, that was a common way for a sinner to repent. They would put on sackcloth. They would put ashes upon their head. Sackcloth, that was a symbol of humility and sincerity before the Lord. The ashes, they were a reminder of death, which is itself a result of what? Sin. And so when you repent for sin, you showed your sincerity and your sorrow by putting on sackcloth and ashes. We may not do the sackcloth and ashes today, but we should express true sorrow for our sin. In Psalm 38, verse 18, David writes this. He says, I confess my iniquity. I am troubled. I am troubled by my sin. Can you say that this morning? Are you troubled by your sin? Or do you not really think a whole lot about your sin? Are you sorry when you repent? Or do you simply confess your sins to God out of habit or out of rote? Or even worse, do you take God's forgiveness for granted? Not David. David said, I'm troubled. I'm troubled by my sin. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. He wrote this to them. He said, it was your sorrow that led you to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation, leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. You know the difference between godly sorrow and worldly sorrow? Godly sorrow is sorry because you've sinned against God. Worldly sorrow is only sorry because of the consequences of sin. Godly sorrow is sorry for sin. Worldly sorrow is sorry because you got caught. Godly sorrow brings repentance, and that leads to salvation, and it leaves no regret in your life. Worldly sorrow brings death. The Bible says we should express a true and godly sorrow for our sin. The Bible also tells us that we demonstrate true repentance through our actions. John the Baptist, when he was preaching repentance, he told his listeners in Matthew chapter 3, verse 8, he said, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. What was the fruit? It was their actions. The Apostle Paul says this in Acts chapter 26, verse 20. He says, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and do what? Prove their repentance by their deeds. You see, Jesus looks for sincerity and sorrow in those who do repent. We should express a true sorrow for our sins, and we demonstrate true repentance, sincere repentance, through our actions. So Jesus denounces those who do not repent. Jesus mourns for those who do not repent. Jesus looks for sincerity and sorrow in those who do repent. And then number four now, Jesus warns of coming punishment for those who do not repent. So back to Matthew 11, now we're up to verse 22, where Jesus says this to the cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida. He says, but I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. You might wonder, well, what's Tyre and Sidon? Well, those were two cities in another country, in Phoenicia, just north of Israel. Both of these cities were strongly condemned by God in the Old Testament for their sin. Both of them were greatly punished by God for their sins. But here Jesus tells the cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida, he says, you know what? It's going to be more bearable for those two cities. For Tyre and Sidon, it'll be more bearable for them on the day of judgment than for you. Or how about the city of Capernaum? Capernaum was a little fishing village. It was located on the north side of the Sea of Galilee. It wasn't far from Jesus' hometown of Nazareth, but Jesus moved to Capernaum, and it was his adopted hometown. And this is where he set up. It was his main center for ministry. Now, if anyone should have repented and believed in Christ, it was the people of Capernaum. Think of all of the many miracles that Jesus performed there, his very center for ministry. Think how many people Jesus had healed there, healed them of their diseases. Think of the unparalleled access the people of Capernaum had to Jesus and to his teaching. But what does Jesus say to Capernaum? Look at verses 23 and 24. He says, and you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. I tell you that it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. Well, what's Sodom? Sodom is only one of the absolute worst cities in the Old Testament. There were not even 10 righteous people in the city of Sodom. The city of Sodom is used everywhere in the Bible as an example of the greatest sin and the greatest punishment. And you got to ask, was there ever a city worse than Sodom? And Jesus says, yes. It's Capernaum is a worse city than Sodom. Why? Because Capernaum had Jesus right there. They saw his miracles and they rejected Christ. Jesus says there is a day of judgment coming when all of those who have not repented will be punished for their sins. Notice that Jesus warns of different levels of punishment. He says it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for Chorazin and Bethsaida. He says it will be more bearable for the people of Sodom on the day of judgment than for the people of Capernaum. What's Jesus saying here? He's warning of different levels of punishment. Those with greater opportunities to hear about Jesus and greater opportunities to respond to Jesus will be judged more severely than those with less opportunity. We find the same truth taught in other portions of Scripture. For example, in Romans chapter 2, verse 12, it says, all who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law. All who sin under the law will be judged by the law. There's a different standard of judgment for those who know God's law and those who don't. Jesus said something very similar. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus said this, the servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants, that servant will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. What does this mean for us in America today? Let me tell you, as a nation, we are those who have been given much and from whom much will be demanded. We are a nation who has been entrusted with much, and therefore more will be asked. We have a strong gospel witness in our nation, and that means that people in America who do not repent and believe in Jesus Christ will be judged more strictly than those in other lands who never heard about Jesus. It also means this, that every person who is here today, here in this room today, a part of this congregation today, we've been talking about what today? Jesus. So you've heard Jesus. You've heard the gospel. Every person here in this congregation today who does not repent and believe in Jesus will be judged more strictly than those who never heard about Jesus. With knowledge comes responsibility. And so we will receive a far greater punishment than even Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. if we do not repent. Jesus not only warns of different levels of punishment, he also warns of severe punishment. Remember, Jesus warned these cities, Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum, that they would be punished if they did not repent. All three of those cities, they are gone today. They are wiped clear off the map. They are buried in the sands of time. They have long been replaced by other cities. They did not repent. Jesus spoke about hell more than anyone else in all of Scripture. And he warns each of us about the coming day of judgment. Jesus said this in Matthew 13. He says, this is how it will be at the end of the age. He's telling us what's going to happen. This is how it will be. At the end of the age, the angels will come, and they will separate the wicked from the righteous. And the wicked, they will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Severe punishment. We read earlier in Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Remember that verse we looked at a few moments ago, telling us how God's kindness should lead us to repentance. Romans 2, 4. Well, you go to the next verse, Romans 2, 5. What does it do? It tells us what happens if we do not repent, if God's kindness does not lead us to that repentance. Paul writes this, Romans 2, 5. He says, but because of your stubbornness. How many of us are stubborn? How many of us have stubborn hearts? He says, because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, what are you doing? You are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God's judgment is righteous. And all that means is this, apart from Christ, you and I, we will be judged wholly, entirely, completely according to our works. Here's a question. Would you rather be judged on judgment day, would you rather be judged by your works or by Jesus' works? You see, if you are judged by your works, and this includes me as well, you will most certainly be judged severely. But if you are judged by Jesus' works, that means God will judge you by the righteousness of Christ instead of by your own sin. You see, Jesus already experienced what? The most severe punishment of all for your sin on the cross. And when you repent and when you put your faith in Christ, this is what happens. Jesus takes your sin and God gives you Jesus' righteousness instead. That's what it means to be saved. It means that Jesus takes your sin and God gives you Jesus' righteousness. And so you don't need to be afraid on the day of punishment. And that's the fourth thing now that we learn then about those who do not repent. Jesus warns that there is a coming punishment. Different levels of punishment, but it will be most severe for those who do not repent. Jesus denounces those who do not repent. Jesus mourns for those who do not repent. Jesus looks for sincerity and sorrow in those who do repent. Number four, Jesus warns of coming punishment for those who do not repent. Number five, finally, Jesus urges you to repent now rather than later. If we go back to Matthew chapter 11, I want us to go back to verse 21, where Jesus said this to the people of Chorazin and Bethsaida. He said, if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented when? Long ago. Long ago. Now, in one sense, Jesus is talking about these cities that existed long ago, but he is also stressing here the matter of urgency. He's saying, people of Chorazin and Bethsaida, you also should have repented when? Long ago. The very best time to repent is when you first hear the good news about Jesus. And those who delay repentance often never get around to actually repenting. Jesus goes on in verse 23, speaking now to the people of Capernaum. He says, if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. Jesus is saying, if the people of Sodom saw these miracles, they would have repented. And if they had repented, they would still be here. This was a strong warning to the people of Capernaum to do what? To repent now before it was too late. Because sadly, as we've already learned, just as the city of Sodom no longer exists, neither does the city of Capernaum. Why? Because they did not repent and believe. Jesus urges you to repent now rather than later. The Bible says today. Today is the day of salvation. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, he says, I tell you, now is the time. Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. We read in Hebrews 3, 14, today, not tomorrow, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Why do you do it today? Because if you harden your heart today, you are less likely to repent and believe tomorrow. And then tomorrow may be too late anyways. Remember Jesus told the story about the rich fool who built his barns and he filled them all with grain and then he just looked at all and sat back and says, I'm all set. I can just sit back and relax for the rest of my life. It's going to be easy sailing from here on up. But he never thought about God. He never took God into account. We read in Luke chapter 12, verse 20, God said to him, you fool. Why? Because what he was doing was very foolish. It is foolish to leave God out of your life. You fool, this very night, your life will be demanded from you. See, none of us knows if we will live to see another day. The book of James, chapter 4, verse 14 says this, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. And so Jesus urges you to repent now rather than later, because today is the day of salvation and tomorrow may be too late. People, all of us are sinners. And therefore, all of us need to repent of our sins. And what happens to those who do not repent? They will be punished severely. If you do not repent of your sins, then you must pay the full penalty for your sins. Those who hear the gospel and still reject Christ, they will receive the most severe punishment of all. And it is all so unnecessary because Jesus already died on the cross to take your punishment for you. And all you need to do is repent and believe. There's no works involved. There's no trying to earn your way to heaven or to salvation. You repent and believe. We read this in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. Not works, not trying to work your way there and earn your way into God's favor. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But Isaiah says, you would have none of it. Salvation is available to you today, but you would have none of it. How sad. How unnecessary. Let me close with a verse we already read earlier in the service today from Ezekiel 33, verse 11. I'm not going to put it up on the screen because I want you just to listen to it. It is a fitting close to this message because in this verse you can hear so clearly God's heart for you today. As surely as I live, declares the Sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn from your evil ways. Why will you die? Why will you die? Jesus died for you. Why will you die? Why will you die when you can repent and believe today? Let us pray. Well, dear God, we thank you for these words. They're difficult words. They're challenging words. We've learned that those who do not repent of their sins and put their faith in you will be punished severely. So, Lord, I pray for anyone here today who has never trusted you for salvation. I pray that today would be this day. Today would be the day of salvation for them. I pray that today would be the day they repent of their sins and turn to you in faith through Jesus Christ. Lord, for those of us who do know you, we thank you for being our Savior. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy and forgiving us of our sins. And we also turn to you this morning, and we also repent of any known sin in our lives. We recommit our lives to you this morning. We ask you to help us to live a life that is pleasing to you in every way. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.